Excuse me, Mr. Cantor. I'm from Associated Press.
Yes?
We're interviewing some of the stars out here in Hollywood. Tell me, what do you want for Christmas?
What do I want for Christmas? Well, it's simple and it's plain. It isn't tied with ribbons or wrapped in cellophane. If Santa passes by my stocking, I promise not to mind a lot. The only thing I want for Christmas is just to keep the things that I've got. A pair of loving arms around me, a garden of forget-me-not. The only thing I want for Christmas is just to keep the things that I've got.
Wouldn't it be easier if we all counted 1, 2, 3, go?
We can try it. You want to do that?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. One.
One.
Two, three, go.
Go.
All right. We'll use that one then. So my setup is significantly more complicated. I'm actually recording to two separate applications now. Plus, I've got the headset. You guys are hearing me through Skype via my headset, but I'm recording my microphone. This is getting really complicated.
It's not that complicated.
Well, it is over here. Maybe it's because you're using a PC. Maybe it's less complicated.
Well, it's got to be said, the Audacity software that we're using, are you using it as well, Sam?
Yes, I'm using the new beta version.
It's more complicated than it needs to be.
Well, I think I have a family member who's a radio reporter, and I don't know if they still do, but they used to use Audacity. So it really is a professional application. I'm using an application called Hindenburg, which is also aimed at you know, journalists, audio journalists, and advanced podcasters like us. And it's also got quite a few features that I'm not sure I'll ever be able to use. But anyway, this is good. Hopefully it'll all work out. If it doesn't, that's what this test was for, right? And we'll just forget any of this ever happened.
Sure.
It'll give us more to talk about on the next show. So this is going to be episode 29 and a half. And the reason I'm calling it 29 and a half is because it's always kind of bothered me that the numbering of our shows hasn't actually synced up with the number of shows we had, because we lost episode 6, I think it was.
Yes.
You remember that? It was a great show, wasn't it? It was
it was one of the best.
We're not just saying that to screw with people. It really was a fantastic show, and I didn't record my half of the conversation, and I didn't realize that until it was all over. So anyway, we're going to call this 29 and a half because it's going to be short, and then that'll put us back when we get to episode 30. That will actually be our 30th episode, and so we'll fix that. So that's reason number one that we're doing this today, is just to get us back on schedule or synced up. The second thing we're doing, obviously, we're doing an audio test here. We're making sure that all of our new gear works and our new software works and we know what the hell we're doing. There's no guarantee that even if we demonstrate that today that we still know what we're doing, but we're trying. The third reason, I think, is just to, you know, say thanks to everyone who coughed up some money when we went out with our hat in hand and asked for it the other day. I don't have the number right in front of me, but it was 14, 16 people, I think, who donated, so obviously thank you, everyone.
Wow. And if this still sounds crap, you've wasted your money, folks.
You are SOL at this point.
I'm going to say right off the bat, I can hear Paul's chair squeaking much more clearly than before, which is, I can see right there, you're moving.
Yeah.
So anyway, all of our warts, it's sort of like high definition television, so all of our little warts may be actually more visible this way than they were before.
There's absolutely no way Scott's going to get away with peeing in a cup.
No, he won't even be able to think about it without us knowing. There was a fourth reason for doing the show today. Oh, the content. That's right.
Subject matter. Not that it matters, but.
So why don't we just get into it then? The other day on the Bigfoot Show Facebook page, we posted a link to a new a website that had been registered. Not recently. It was registered, I think, back in February. But it was a website that was registered to someone named Melba Ketchum. And we all know who Melba Ketchum is. If you're listening to this podcast, you are clearly aware of who Melba Ketchum is. And the URL was feralhumanproject.info. And I didn't check, is like feralhumanproject.com not available?
No, it's registered with a domains by proxy, as is .net and .org, all of them registered on the same day.
Oh, so they're all hers then?
Yeah. So, unless somebody else had exactly the same idea on the 27th of February.
So I sent her a note via Facebook, because we're friends on Facebook, which means we're very close friends in real life. Not really, but we are friends on Facebook. So I was able to send her a message, and I said to her who I was, since we've never met. And I asked her, you know, what's the deal? What's the deal with feralhumanproject.info? Because we were going to do a show about it, and I was curious to know what her reply was. So I will get right to it, and I will read to you exactly what she said to me. She said, one of the people helping me bought a bunch of websites for Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and feral names. I had nothing to do with it, as they did it as a favor, since I didn't have time and probably put some of their own beliefs into it. They were purchased before we had a lot of data, so it's a non-issue. If they are not listed as private, I'm sure you can find some BF Sasquatch names also. Not a big deal. Everybody makes a huge deal of anything with my name on it, but it just isn't important. So there you go. That's her response.
End of show.
End of show. So thank you all for... No. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's an awful lot of domain names to register on...
A whim.
On a whim. If that is just one of several websites, we're talking about somebody registering probably 20, 30 websites, if what she's saying is true. Which, you know, websites, they're not expensive to register, or domains rather, aren't expensive to register. But it adds up fairly quickly.
Yeah, times 30 they can get expensive.
Yeah, you don't register them unless you've got a reason to. The other thing that bothers me about this is that Dr. Ketchum's email address is the one that's registered as the technical and administrative contact. Now, normally, when I register domains for other people, and I do this from time to time, I always put myself as the technical contact.
Right.
And the other person as the owner. Simply because if there's any technical issues with the domain, I want to be emailed about it so I can sort it out. Because if Into Nick or anybody else or Nominate emails the numpty that I've been registering domain names for, they're not going to know what to do with that email. So it just doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's an interesting point. I mean, we do the same thing when we register names, URLs for people. We don't typically do it in their name, at least not the technical part. I don't have any reason to think that she's not telling the truth. I would like to know who registered them then and see what they were thinking. It seems, again, and, I mean, unless she just gave them their credit card and they went to town and they picked up $500 worth of URLs, I don't really...
And in an ideal world, I'd like to see the list of domain names registered.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
There should be 20 or 30 others.
If you're saying the other ones are private, then this one, just for whatever reason, either though, even perhaps they were going to a registrar that didn't support the private registration, or perhaps they just forgot to add it to this one. So who knows? You know, it's interesting that we at least know about those four. I guess what you would have to do is go back to that date, but I don't even know if you can do that and like see all the domains registered on a certain date. It would be. But it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. I think what it suggests is that someone, either she or someone associated with her, was thinking along these lines, at least at some point in the process. She wasn't forthcoming in saying what she thought. You know, she wasn't saying that this is essentially what they're thinking now, but clearly at some point she or someone she was associated with was willing to hedge their bets that Sasquatch are human.
Well, I think what's really important is, have they registered the .xxx domain yet?
That's a good question.
The org, the .com, the .net, you know, that's all run of the mill. But is there a feralhumanproject.xxx? I think for me, I could see several scenarios how this played out, if what she's saying is true, which, you know, there's really no reason to doubt it at this point. One could be that there is a benefactor in this project who goes out and registers all these domains for her, and it's their own personal bias that we're seeing here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there is a camp out there who firmly believe that the Sasquatch are people, forest people, shadow people. You use whatever adjective you want, but the main part is the people part.
Shadow people, and so, that's one I hadn't heard of. I haven't heard shadow
yeah.
people.
That's one of the fringier of the fringe. So you could have somebody out there who says, yeah, I truly believe that Sasquatch are people, and I believe that her project is going to prove this through, and so I'm going to go ahead and go out and grab up all these domain names. Another and more troubling one is that they might not know what the hell's going on. And so they're hedging their bets of it could be people, it could be primate, it could be ancient hominid, we don't know. But if that's the case, why didn't they know? Because you're not talking, you're not talking about tea leaves. You're talking about DNA.
Yeah. It's interesting, and I'll play the role of Scott for a few seconds here because he's not able to join us today because he's watching football. I'm sure that's what it is. The fact that this was done so early in the process, relatively speaking, does not... First of all, it sounds like there was at least a thought towards marketing in the middle of this scientific study, which I don't know how I feel about that. Maybe that's good, maybe that's bad, maybe that's just how things are today. But it also suggests that... I've kind of lost my thought, but it suggests that they had a point of view prior to actually doing the work and determining what it was. It's like, were they going out... Because it's in the mix, and because it's so controversial, and because I think, because the feral human thing is in the mix, it seems to me that they had the presupposition. There you go. That's I couldn't speak for a second.
They were predisposed.
They're predisposed to think in those ways. At least someone was, and I don't know. She says that they're not, but I don't know. I don't know. It's the whole thing just really leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
It doesn't surprise me. I'm sure I read something that hinted at these being the results that we're all expecting one of these days to be something similar to humans, if not human. And I thought at the time, the only reason I remember this, because I couldn't help thinking at the time, well, shouldn't be difficult to find human DNA in the woods. You know, it makes for a very short paper and not a very interesting one.
But quite a lot of DNA is close. And this is sort of the conversations we had, electronically prior to the show. There's a lot of DNA that comes back as very close to human. And that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean it's human. You know, pigs are very close to human. That doesn't mean that you would get a random sample of pig and not be able to identify it as pig and say it must be something human because it's so close. I mean, and I guess we're jumping the gun because no one has said exactly how close these results are, but it just seems to me that saying, oh, it looks like human DNA, it must be human. I don't think that's how that's going to work. I don't think you're going to use DNA to determine if something could be classified as homo or not. I guess that's what
I think regardless of how it all pans out, regardless of what her study shows and what the DNA says, feral human is just not the right term to be used. Because when you say that something is feral, you're implying that at one point or another it was domesticated or it was civilized. And
that's how I've always used that word.
Yeah. I just can't imagine someone making the case that at some point what we now recognize as Sasquatch was a part of human culture. I mean, what kind of culture are you talking about? Were they Clovis culture? Were they, you know, something... comparable to the technology with, say, Neanderthals? And if so, how do you go from human culture, even something like Clovis culture, to being 7-8 feet tall, completely covered with hair, possessing apparently no technology, no fire,
no tools,
none of the trade, yeah, no tools, or you know, at least
tools
no
tools that you make, right?
Exactly. No fashion tools, no constructed tools, short of, you know, stripping a tree limb and using it to get termites out of a mound. It just doesn't jive. It's close to human.
It's a community. It's a community of former reality TV stars.
You say that like it's a bad thing, Paul.
No, I think it's a good thing. Send them out to the woods. Let them fend for themselves. This is what you end up with.
It's interesting. Another reason why this is resonating with me is, and maybe why it's, well, frankly, kind of ticking me off a little bit more than I thought it would, is that recently someone brought to my attention the last chapter of Apes Among Us, John Green's book. And it's been a long time since I read that book, and I couldn't remember what the last chapter was about. So I've recently reread the chapter. And he's making this argument in the chapter. Well, he's making essentially a couple of arguments. But one of them is that a sample needs to be collected. One of them needs to be brought in to prove the species, and there's really no other way to do that. That's his point of view. It's also my point of view, but regardless. What he spends an awful lot of the chapter doing is arguing that they're not human. And you know, he's basically using all of the same things we're saying here today, that, you know, they demonstrated no ability to make tools. No one's ever found their tools. No one's ever seen them making tools. They don't appear to have language. They don't live in communities the way that a lot of those in the Homo genus have been, you know, at least that we think they have had. There's no reason to believe they're humans. The only thing that you might point to is that they walk upright, but that in and of itself doesn't seem to be enough to sort of pass the bar, so to speak, to join this, you know, somewhat elite club, right?
No, and I mean, if we found a subspecies of chimpanzee that walks upright in Africa next week, they're still going to be chimpanzees.
Exactly, exactly. Now, if we found a subspecies of orangutan who were fashioning tools, I mean, that would be not, and you know, to Sam's point, not just taking a pointy stick and using it to get after the termites, but, you know, actually creating tools.
Flint napping or, right. Yeah,
That sewing. Would be huge, but I don't think there's anything in the literature that says that wood apes do that. Nothing. So so regardless, this is what he's saying, and I think this is what we're saying, and I think a lot of people would say this, but what is sort of, you know, honestly almost depressing, man, I'm not in a bad mood today. What I find somewhat depressing about it is that he wrote these words in 1978, and we're still having these conversations, exact same conversations today.
Yeah.
He was writing about this in 1978. And it's not done yet. I mean, we're still, and the other thing that got me thinking about this, so he's writing, he's obviously responding to somebody in 1978, because as I go back and read the books, I mean, that's what you're looking at back then, is articles and books. There was no internet, obviously. I don't remember reading any articles or books from that time frame.
But it reads as a rebuttal.
It reads as a rebuttal, exactly. But I don't know what he's rebutting, because
it's worth remembering that Patterson thought these were human. This was the whole mantra for not shooting one.
I see.
So there obviously was a pro-human sort of gang of people in you know, back in 60s and 70s that thought these were human. There still is today.
I just assumed that there was nobody wanted to kill one, not necessarily they didn't want to quote-unquote murder one. They didn't want to kill it just because they didn't want to kill anything. But you're saying that Patterson was also one who thought that they were human.
That's what Gimlin said, and he is obviously the bastion of truth. When it comes to all matters Patterson.
Well, it doesn't matter what Patterson thought, because we all know he's
but
just no, that,
but that's what Gimlin said in the past in interview, is that Patterson thought these were human, and that's why they didn't want to shoot them unless it attacked. Now, of course, it's very convenient to the no-kill brigade if these are called human,
mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to be collecting samples, bodies of humans,
right?
So I think it'll get messy in that way if this goes on. But of course, we're speculating here. We don't know, obviously, what Ketchum has come up with.
Right, we don't.
We are only speculating based on the four domain names that are registered in her name.
And she says not to make too much of it, and so we obviously are making more of it than she's saying that we should. But again,
we're making less of it than we could do.
It's provocative, I guess you could put it that way.
It just seems like a bizarre domain name to register on.
It does. I agree with Sam. I don't know. if the definition of feral is that it has to, you know, we're talking about an animal that was domesticated and then went wild. That's certainly how I've always seen the word used. Nobody talks about feral bears, you know. They talk about feral cats and feral pigs. So the assumption when you use that word, at least for me, is that you're talking about an animal that was at one time domesticated. So I agree with Sam that it is it's highly provocative.
I think if she could come back and say, okay, here is North American Pongid Project.com.
Right.
Or here is here is woodapeproject.net.
Right. See? I see. Woodape. I like that.
Yes. Yeah. I get a plug for you. You know, if she could just show that they had covered all of their bases for all of the different possibilities, this would be a completely moot point. Because then you could say, okay, well, you know, somebody had the money and right. they went ahead and they just covered all their bases and right. all of the possibilities,
right.
and that's it. But unfortunately, all you have is one set of domain names that all point to feral human.
Sure.
And that's the rub, so to speak.
The test, of course, will be to see, now that Ketchum has it theoretically finished her paper and she knows what these are, is whether these feral human project domain names get re-registered on the 27th of February 2012.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
If they do, then there's an issue. If they don't, then okay, that domain name's gone by the wayside because they're feral chimpanzees.
Well, I'll be sweeping it together if it does. But yeah, I...
so we're probably going to be talking about this again beginning of March, I suspect, because I don't think we're going to see a paper by then. But we'll check in at the end of February, beginning of March. It's worth mentioning. I mean, the term feral, of course, we think of as referring to an animal that's been changed from being domesticated or to being something wild. But of course, when we talk about feral children, we talk about children that have been isolated and from other humans and have been living wild, not necessarily that they were once domesticated.
Well, no, but they were part of civilization.
Yes,
and you can still take those
necessarily into civilization,
right? And you can take those feral children and you can re-indoctrinate them into civilization. I don't think there's any chance of you taking a Sasquatch and indoctrinating it into human civilization, even the most basic of human civilization.
Yeah.
Even if you were to buy the story of Zana, there were all kinds of complications there. And that allegedly dealt with a much more apparently human type of creature than what we seem to be talking about here in the U.S. I just don't buy it. I'm like Brian. It just rubs me the wrong way, and I think that it smacks of bias at a point in the process where there should have been no bias.
Right. Exactly.
Hmm.
Exactly. And that absolutely crystallizes how I think about it. You know, just by registering the domain, by saying that that's in your mind before you have results, before you know what you're looking at. Absolutely.
Or at least in the mind of her friends.
Well, and that's what she's saying. She's saying yes. that someone did it for her. And
but
again,
I can't imagine, you know, If you were registering domain names for me, Brian, you'd know something about what it is I'm working on to suggest domain names.
What I might also have done is actually spoken to you first to say, what will we call this thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's presume you don't know how to register domain names. And we're like, well, what do you want me to get? There's a conversation that takes place. You're not going to say to me, well, here's my credit card, just go nuts. Right.
Happy birthmas, here's a bunch of URLs.
Exactly. I just think that there had to have been a conversation taking place, and there had to have been a sort of a you know, what's our range of things. And yeah, again, she's making, and we have no reason to believe she's not telling the truth, that she's saying that this person sort of went off and did their own thing. But it just seems weird to me, and it just could be that we have this very tiny sliver of insight into what happened there, and so it just looks weird. Maybe it's not nearly as weird as it is, but anyway, it rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, I think there's something odd about it.
So hopefully in February they'll expire and we can get past this. Well, hopefully before February there will actually be something real to talk about. This is not real. This is not an actual result. This isn't science we're discussing right here or an interpretation of science. This is just somebody registered a URL. And so and that's where we are still to this day, after all of this conversation and all of everything that's been written. We're having an hour-long conversation about what domain they registered.
Well, you know, if nothing else, if nothing comes out of this, one of the true testaments or the most memorable things about this whole thing is all of the deadlines that we've had to look forward to.
Yeah.
You know, you go back, the paper was supposed to be released here. And no, now it's going to be this time. And then she was going to speak in Honabi, and that didn't come to pass. And so now, you know, we've got the URLs are going to need to be renewed in February. And then there's this, the Homo Hirsuti conference that they're planning for next year.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just deadline after deadline, and time keeps marching on, and none of these are coming to fruition. And so if the whole thing ends up going down the toilet bowl, I think that will be the lasting memory, is all of the points where people held their breath waiting for that time to come, and each one came, and it just ended up being another empty deadline.
Well,
yes. Or one that has to be extended for another 3 years while Adrian Erickson finishes his documentary.
Yes.
Or while the paper is being reviewed by peers. I don't know.
Anonymous peers. Anonymous. But, you know, the thing is, though, Happy Day, if at the end of this they come out and they've got it, and they've got it nailed down, and they've got the science, nobody will remember any of this.
You're exactly
Nobody will remember the Bigfoot Show episode 29 and a half, where we sat around and talked about something that was absolutely irrelevant to the topic.
And you know, that's the thing. I hope that no one is misinterpreting our conversation about this as us, you know, in some way. Well, I'm sure Scott actually may have said this at some point, so maybe I need to pedal back a little bit. But at least for myself, what I'd say is I'm not wishing them ill. I'm not saying that they're lying. I'm not saying that this is nothing but a bunch of smoke and mirrors. I hope that they have what they're sort of intimating that they have. I hope that this is real. And I hope it doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm a member of a group. I go out on my own. I don't have to be the guy. I don't have to know the guy, right, who finally puts this to bed and or advances us sufficiently so that we're no longer talking about this thing as if it's a unicorn or a Pegasus. You know, I don't care who it is that does that. It could be Tom Biscardi for all I care, as long as it's real, right? And it can be either repeated or in some way proven to be actual fact, because with him, of course, you're going to need that a couple of times. But it doesn't matter to me who it is. I hope Melba's right. I hope she's got what she needs, and I hope that we're all pleasantly surprised, and I hope that this entire episode is for nothing. And at the end of the day, it's all fantastic. How could you hope anything else if you're in this field? If you're sitting there rooting against them, I think you need to sort of reevaluate why you're in this particular area of interest.
Well, there clearly are people.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, there clearly are people that are rooting against anybody that's trying to come up with something, through reasons of jealousy. And I mean, we've all seen plenty of people in this field that feel that they should be the one that the History Channel's talking to, and not and not BFRO and whatever. We've seen this for years. It's absolutely nothing new. From my point of view, I couldn't give a damn who finds one of these first.
Right.
As long as somebody does, and I can justify the thousands and thousands I've spent on books and flicking videos over the years.
I've already got the list written down, like the people I will call in order, you know.
I just hope that it's going to be before I die, you know.
And that's the other thing. I'm reading Green's book in this last chapter. I think it's called Apes, Humans, and Sasquatch or something along those lines. And he says in there, you know, in my 20 years of investigating, and I'm thinking, this is in 1978. He was already doing it for 20 years in 1978.
Yeah,
I haven't been doing it 20 years yet, right? So I'm like, I'm not even like to where he was in 1978. And oh man, 50 years of this?
Yeah.
It kind of blows my head off. I just can't even conceive of doing this for 50. If we are sitting here talking into whatever fantastic new microphone they have in 50 years about, you know, whether or not they're human and who's got DNA and, you know, this new video on the, you know, 50-year version of YouTube, what the hell? I mean, come on. That's out of control.
I have a sneaking suspicion that somebody will be sitting here in another 20, 30 years having the same conversations.
I would love to talk to him, and he doesn't really do interviews at this point. He just doesn't. When you get to a certain age, it's like, screw everybody else. You can do whatever you want. But I would love to know, like, at what point, if at any point, did he just sort of, like, realize sort of deeply and existentially that this was never going to go anywhere? or does he still hold out hope? Does he still have that, you know, whatever got him to do it 50 years ago? Does that still exist? Or is he just completely just grizzled and embittered about the whole thing?
I just hope his family is very understanding of him and doesn't keep nagging him all the time. When are you going to give up on this?
That would be awful.
come on. It's been 50 years now.
You know, it's true, though. You can only maintain a certain level of emotion or interest or readiness for so long before it starts to take its toll. And you start to suffer for it more than you gain. And I can only imagine what it must be like for him at this point. I mean, if somebody came to me and I was him and they said, hey, we would love to come on, we'd love to have you come on this podcast and talk about all of your experiences, I would give them the full extension middle finger. I mean, hyper extend the elbow all the way out, right in the face. If I haven't already said it, it's not going to be said at this point. So God bless him. But I do want to go back and say that I'm in the same camp as both of you. I don't care who does it. I don't care really at this point how they do it. I want to see somebody win. And, you know, for me personally, my gratification and my satisfaction is in being able to pick up a book on, you know, mammals of North America and see a Sasquatch.
Right.
That's what I want. And, you know, it can be Moneymaker. It can be Biscardi. It can be any of the various regional groups, small groups, big groups. It can be a guy driving a logging truck. Yeah, I don't care. And I think, like you said, I think if you do care who it is, then you might need to reevaluate what your interest in the subject really is. Because, you know, the altruistic good for everyone is that it be resolved and that it be discovered.
Yeah.
And I think that if you see someone who, for whatever reason, is positioning themselves and posturing themselves in such a way to say that we should not discover them, you know, we shouldn't document their existence, that person is probably up to something. There's some motive there that isn't necessary. That doesn't smack of truth.
Yeah. I have no patience for, and I, you know, if you spend enough time on the forums or, you know, on the internet or in life in general, you will come across someone who says, why don't we just leave them alone? You know, don't bother them. Don't, you know, just let them be, you know, who people who are not interested at all in establishing them as an actual animal that needs to be protected / studied / whatever. I don't have time for those people. You know, I just don't have time for that.
Well, and if you notice too, though, typically those are the people who also will tell you about their wondrous experiences,
yeah,
riding unicorns that shit rainbows while they have high tea with Sasquatch.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's probably a really good reason that they don't want them.
Yeah.
They don't want them to be discovered. It's because everything that they've said about them is absolute BS.
Right. Well, yes, exactly.
In the meantime, who are we going to get to star in Finding Feral Humans?
That's a good question. I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think there's a chance that when Scott's documentary comes out next year, that there may be a few feral humans in it. I think I met one with him when I was picking him up at the Southern Terminus.
It could be the closest thing we're gonna get. Honestly, is looking, especially towards the latter half of his production. Even if he turns the camera on himself, I think you'll have a pretty good glimpse into what a feral human might look like.
Yeah, he smelled pretty feral when I put him in the Xterra. Yeah.
Well,
Well, of course, for me, while we were having all this rioting in London and other English cities during the summer, the politicians were constantly referring to the rioters as being feral. and that's immediately what I thought of was when I saw this domain name. It's going to be a website about these people that are seen carting off flat screen TVs out of the electronics stores in the middle of rioting in Tottenham and Croydon, but clearly not.
Clearly not. I would love to see a security cam footage of a Sasquatch carrying off like a 60 inch LCD flat panel into the woods. That'd be fantastic. Well, everyone wants to see the Super Bowl on a big screen, right? I mean, even Bigfoot.
What I want to see is the Super Bowl cut down into the 10 minutes of interesting sport.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that hurts. It's actually technically an hour of interest and another hour and a half of standing around waiting for the commercials to be over and, you know, instant replays. But anyway. So that's, you know, this is it. We're going to do this is it. Little tiny half show, 29 and a half. I'm going to say we're done now. Just for anyone who doesn't frequent our Facebook page or doesn't know, I don't remember if we talked about this in the last show. Our next show will be our big end of year show. That's going to be taking place in the last week of the year. I don't know that we've picked the day that will happen yet, but I'm sure I'll say something on Facebook when we get closer. And we're going to talk about sort of the biggest stories within categories. So the way we're thinking about this now is, you know, the biggest hype of the year, and I can't even imagine what we might say in that category, or, you know, maybe the best quote-unquote encounter of the year or encounter report. I don't know that we've got the actual categories figured out yet. If you have an idea, please come to facebook.com/thebigfootshow and let us know what you think we should be talking about or what categories you'd like to hear us. So then the idea is that we're going to go off and figure out what ours are, and then we'll only tell each other when we come on the show. So that's sort of the interesting, quote-unquote interesting part of how we're going to pull that show off. Other than that, is there anything you guys want to say before we close out this little show?
Nope, I'm done.
Excellent.
And I'm spent.
Well, that's it then.